Amen. Matthew 22, and in verse 35, it says, "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, tempting him, asking him a question, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets." So once again, we must walk in love. You know, you can't, if the love of God is not in place, if the love of God is out of place in your life, then you can't expect scripture that you've been accumulating to produce for you. Did you hear me? If the love of God is out of place, you can't expect all this scripture that you've been accumulating to produce, because love is what makes it work. Okay? Now, go to Luke chapter 8 with me this evening. Are you ready tonight? Are you excited and passionate and fired up about this? Just be that way by faith. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 8. And we've been doing a series, haven't we, entitled The Law of Life. And what we've been talking about in this series is, how do we get in life what God wants us to have in life? How do we yield the results of life? Where are the results of life coming from? You know, they're not coming from nowhere. They're coming from somewhere. One of Job's friends told him that. He was telling him, you know, this didn't just come from anywhere. You know, that you know, something, the curse causeless won't come. So we want to make sure that we're doing things that are going to promote the kind of results that we want to see. Right? We don't want to blame life on somebody else. Because if I have the Word and the Spirit of God, then I can have the kind of life God wants me to have, no matter who's against me. Okay? Now, what we said is the law of life is simply that words are seeds that you take and send down your eye way, your ear way. When you see them out your mouth, they go back through your eyes. They go through the gateway of your mind. And then where do they go? Down into your heart or your spirit. And your heart is like ground. It's a production center. It will send back to you in physical manifested form what you sent to it in the form of words. That's the law of life. And that's Proverbs chapter 4, that your life is coming from where? Out of your heart, right? So it's coming out of your heart based on what you put in there. You have the final say about what goes in your heart. Nobody can just force something in there. You have the right. You stand at the gateway. You are the watchman of your heart. You are the one that allows stuff to get in there. I can't force this in. If I could, I'd force it in there. I can't force it in there. You've got to be open. Your heart's got to be open to it, doesn't it? Right? What you close your heart off to, you have no potential to see come to pass in your life. That's why you don't want to close your heart off to good things that God wants for you. Right? You want to be open, right? So then those things can get in your heart and come to pass. That's the law of life. Now tonight, we're going to talk about the seed of God's Word, and we're going to go into greater detail. And this is going to be good tonight. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. It says this. Now this is the parable of the sower. And this is Jesus teaching on it in Luke 8. We've read it in Mark 4. We're going to go there in just a second. But Jesus said this in verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Mark chapter 4, verse 14, he said, the sower sows the word. So in the kingdom of God system, we said last week that Jesus taught about God's way of doing things, which is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God's way of doing things. And to teach you about God's way of doing things, he ran a parallel with natural farming. Do you remember when we talked about that? He said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed grows and comes up, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear, and immediately the fruit comes and he brings it forth with the sickle. So he's running a parallel between natural farming and about God's way of doing things, because God's way of doing things is like natural farming. And in natural farming, there's a seed. In natural farming, there's ground. In natural farming, that seed produces something like a stalk of corn or like an apple tree. And then off of the stalk of corn or the apple tree comes the fruit. Well, see, in the kingdom of God, the Word is the seed. The ground is the heart. When you put the Word in your heart, it produces what we call a tree of faith. And as you believe, Jesus said, so be it unto you. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So see, there's a tree in you tonight that's producing the fruit that you have in your life. So if you don't like the fruit, cut the tree down. Better yet, root the tree up like Jesus talked about. Right? And then what? Then sow a new seed that matches, word seed that matches the fruit that you want to have. And that seed will not produce fruit. It will produce a tree. And the tree will yield the fruit. And the tree is your faith. And we're going to talk some more about that as we go this evening. But he's running a parallel, okay, between natural farming and about God's way of doing things. And he said if you'd seek first God's way of doing things, then all the other things would be added to you. So when I seek first God's way of doing things, well, in God's way of doing things, I seek his way of doing things first, but in his way of doing things, what is the first thing that I seek? Did I say that through fast word? I'm supposed to seek his way of doing things first. But once I get inside his way of doing things, what do I seek first? I have to find the seed, right? I have to go first to get the seed, okay? That's the first thing that I have to seek, and the word is the seed. Now the Bible, then, is not a book of rules, but it is a bag of seed. And just like a farmer that wakes up, and, you know, farmers, they have maybe acres of ground, and I don't know a lot about farming, but I know they don't usually grow the same thing in that ground every year. They will, make changes and rotate things just to help the growing process. But if the farmer didn't have beans last year and decides that he wants to grow beans this year, then the first thing he must do is what? Go get some bean seed. That's the first thing he must do. If he wants to grow something different, he needs to first get a different seed. Now, what if you have something in your life that you don't want anymore? Mitch says, don't plant it. Exactly. And then what you need to do? You need to go get a seed that matches what you want. So if you want to start manifesting more joy, then you need to go to the bag and... which is the word, right? This is not a book of rules, this is a bag of seed. And now if I want to produce joy instead of discouragement, then I need to turn, you know, whatever show you watch off, you know, with everybody that's depressed on it, you know, and I need to go get this seed. You know, they watch these talk shows and everything is, how does that make you feel? Well, see, as a believer, you're not supposed to be thinking about and discussing how you feel. You're supposed to be getting in this word and lining your emotions up with what the word says.
Yes.
I'm ready for a Christian talk show where the person gets up there and they say, what's going on in your life? They say, well, you know, we got some financial pressure and things are happening. And the talk show says, okay, what do you believe? Not how do you feel, right? Now, if I want joy, then what do I got to do? I got to go in here. This is seed. Now, Jesus said what about this? This is seed. Now, if I want joy fruit, then I need to go get joy seed. So I'm going to go to scriptures and I'm going to find out that, you know, Jesus said in John 16:22 that he gave me joy that no man takes from me.
Yes.
Find out in Galatians 5:22 that, you know, joy is a fruit of the Spirit, something I have. Okay?
Right.
Find out in I think it's 2 Peter that this joy is unspeakable and full of glory. And Jeremiah said that I ate his words and they were joy and rejoicing to my heart. And James said, when I go through stuff, count it all joy. Okay, so well, I'm going to start taking those seeds, and I'm going to start putting them in my eyes.
Yes.
Right? I'm going to start putting them in my ears. Every morning, I'm going to say, I have joy. Jesus said, I have it. He said, no man can take it from me.
Yes.
Going to go over there in the back of him. You know, the guy, the fig tree does the blossom, and everything's going bad. He said, yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Go over there in the back. You think you're having a bad day. You ought to read about him. Nothing's working. See, you go, what do you start doing? You start reading these verses. You start putting them in your eyes, putting them in your ears. You start declaring, I'm like the man in Habakkuk. Was it Habakkuk that said that? Or, yeah, I'm like him. If everything's going bad, I find something to rejoice about. John 16:23, Jesus said there's going to be trials and tribulation in the world. The Amplified Bible says, be of good cheer. Be of confident, undaunted, take courage,
yes.
Right? So you say no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what trial or tribulation I'm experiencing Jesus told me to be a good cheer.
Right.
Friend, if you would just, this is your way out of depression.
Right.
You don't need some pill that just puts you on dope. You know, if we gave depressed people some dope, that'd make them happy. That's all those pills are, is dope. Right? Well, and all they're doing is masking the thing that's still in your spirit. That's why we take the medicine away, the real you comes out, and you're back to being depressed again. But if we can get it out of you, then you won't need anything to mask it because it's not going to be there anymore. So if I would just take these words and put them in and start doing some farming, right? I don't need that. Well, we'll talk about that, but just put it in my eyes, put it in my ears, say it out of my mouth. I could grow joy and not be depressed another day in my life. Right? What if I was worried all the time? And you know, you understand, people have different areas, don't they?
Yes.
You know, some people, you know, they might struggle with worry, right? Maybe your thing's not worry, but maybe you're, you know, Sally Longface all the time. Discouraged and depressed. You know, it might be a different area. Okay, so maybe worry is something that you have to, you know, work at a little bit more. What should you do? Should you sit there and say, well, you know, I just worry my whole life. That's how my dad was, and my mom was, and my aunt was, and we're just worries, and just always the way you've been. I'd like not to worry, but it's just, no. See, what you're saying is you don't have any choice. But see, you do have a choice.
I
mean, if I can choose to live worry-free or full of worry, I choose worry-free. Right? And you can have that in your life tonight. The only thing that's stopping you from living that life is you. Nobody can stop you from that life. You go in here and get some scriptures and you start to confess, and Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled.
Yes.
Right? Don't let it be troubled. I've left you peace and it passes all understanding. And if I keep my mind fixed on God and fixed on His Word, He promised that He would keep me in perfect peace.
Yes.
And now you just get up in the morning and say, I refuse to worry. I refuse to be afraid. I refuse to be anxious. I'll not do it. Jesus told me to not let my heart be troubled.
Amen.
You keep putting that in your eyes and in your ears, you're going to grow some worry-free life.
Yes.
You're going to, all hell's going to be breaking forth in your life. And people are going to think, you should be worried about this. You're going to think, I don't have a care in the world.
Right.
You could grow that, couldn't you?
Yes.
What, if you want that to manifest in harvest form, first thing you got to do is this. I got to go get the seed. If I want to grow no worry, I got to get the no worry seed.
Right.
If I want to grow healing, I got to go get the healing seed. If I want to grow sleep, I just have a hard time sleeping at night. I just can't go to sleep. Do you think there's a connection between you saying that you can't sleep and you not being able to sleep? That's what you believe? That's what you say? Right? That's what you have? Somebody said, I know somebody, and they wouldn't mind me telling you this. I'm not going to tell you who it is to protect the innocent, but they wouldn't mind me sharing it with you. Because we laughed about it after I said this to them. They were saying over and over again, well, I'm just not a photogenic person. I just don't take good pictures. Every time we get ready to take a picture, this person said, I'm just not a photogenic person. And for long I said to her, I said, who are you even saying that? And she started laughing. She, you know, it was my mom. I'll tell my mom. I'm sorry. She wasn't there. She told me, if you got to use me in your sermons, use me. I said, okay, Mom. You asked for it. I said, Mom, how long have you been saying that? She got a big smile on her face. He said, that's right. I don't need to say that anymore. And see, if you can't get sleep, you don't need to say that I can't sleep. You need to go find some sleep seed. In Proverbs chapter 3 says that he gives his, or Psalm 122 says he gives his beloved sleep.
Yes.
Proverbs 3 promises you sweet sleep.
Yes.
Sweet, you know, like you sleeping all night. Don't move. Don't wake. Sweet sleep. You can grow that, can't you? If you want it. See, we should practice sowing all the time. God's correcting me over and over again about this in my own life. This is part of meditating the Word day and night. Why can't we train ourselves every night before we go to sleep to just say, I am my Father's beloved, and He gives me sweet sleep tonight. Why couldn't we just say that every night? Come on, if you said it every night. I didn't say you got to take a whole week off of work and meditate it for 12 hours a day. What if you just practiced it every time before you lay down? Right?
Yep.
Could you grow that?
Yes.
Good, couldn't you? You can go grow a sweet sleep and no nightmares and no weird funky dreams. And I had a dream last night. It wasn't a weird funky dream. I had a dream last night. Somebody gave me a check for $200. I woke up this morning. I thought that was real. That's okay. I've had dreams where they gave me bigger checks than that. But we can get sleep. We can grow these things, but we got to run to this. We always got to go to this. If you're young and maybe you just got married and you're thinking about having a baby, you got to go to this. Don't just start having a baby. No, you got to find out what this says. Because it says the fruit of your womb is blessed. Not only that, it says your womb is blessed. God says that your father calls your children, you got a full quiver, he calls you blessed, right? You got to go get what the word says about that. But I want to put the word in on this, because I want to grow a good kid. I don't want to wait for he or she to get here and be a heathen. I'm already praying over my kids. They don't have a choice. Right? Right? Why? Because God knows them before they're in the womb. Right? So I can pray stuff over them right now. But see, whenever I go to do something like that, I want to go to the Word. I'm just being led of the Spirit here. For those of you, most of you here probably aren't going to have babies anymore. But some of you here might. No, don't speak up. But don't watch this vocabulary. We're trying to have a baby. Watch that. We're trying. Don't try. You know, because what's that doing? That's promoting not being pregnant. Because you're not believing you are, you're believing you're trying. Right? Believe that your womb is blessed and it's fruitful and flourishing and multiplying. Somebody, I heard a story once about somebody that couldn't have a baby. He said, Brother Jesse, we just can't have a baby. Carol just can't get pregnant. She just can't get pregnant. We've been trying, and she just can't get pregnant. We've been trying. He said, John, but what's the Bible say? He said, the fruit of the womb is blessed. He said, how long have you been saying that Carol can't have a baby? He said, well, about as long as she can't have one. He said, well, call things that be not as though they are. And he knew him well, so they're, he's excited. He's telling it. So they start declaring, decreeing this. And then, here, shortly after that, she's pregnant. And then she has that baby, and shortly after that, she gets pregnant again. And she has that baby, and shortly after that, she gets pregnant again. He came to Jesse, he said, Jesse, we got to stop this. See, what happens when you get the word seed in you? You can grow what you desire. Okay? So I just want to encourage you. Whatever you're believing for in life, you go to this first. Right? You need a car, you find it in here. Right, you need something. You gotta get the seed first. Okay? Well, that's good, isn't it? Now, go to the next verse of scripture with me, please. Go to 2 Peter, praise the Lord. You can grow it if you got the seed for it. You gotta use the parallel of natural farming to help you understand the kingdom of God. What would a farmer do if he didn't have something that he wanted to have? He would go get a seed. Right? And then he would put it in his ground that he already has. And then he would water it, and we'll talk some about that, and give life to it, and stick with that process. He would grow what he would desire. 2 Peter chapter 3. I apologize. 2 Peter chapter 1. You're with me so far.
Amen.
Okay. Everything in the kingdom of God system begins with the Word. And as believers, we need to be cautious of this. Do you know as a believer, you're supposed to pray? You're supposed to intercede. You're supposed to stand in the gap. You are supposed to do that without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, right? You're supposed to be praying for others. You're supposed to be standing for your own life. You're supposed to be a praying person. But you got to be cautious to just go and start to pray something. Okay, now just listen to me, because what basis on which are you praying?
Right.
Which would be what the Word says.
Right.
I mean, if you want to pray for a city to get changed, then my question is, what scripture do we have that promises us that?
Sure.
What scripture did God give us? God gave this church that he's going to repair the waste places, right? So, see, there's basis now for praying that. Read this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Well, verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given. Now notice that's past tense, isn't it?
Right.
Has given unto you, unto us, unto me, all things that pertain unto life and godliness.
Amen.
So everything that pertains to life and godliness, God has already given it to you. Now, life and godliness, what's that mean? Life means this: absolute fullness of life, blessed life, the way that God has it, absolute fullness of life, blessed life, life the way God has it. So that's the life He's promised to you, life the way He has it. Well, how does He have life? Does He have discouraged life? Does He? No, Scripture says, as Jesus is, so are we. Are we means now we are. As He is, now we are as He is. Is He discouraged? Is He worried? Is He sick? Is He? No, He's none of those things, so neither are you in the eyes of God. Okay? All things that pertain to life the way God has it, God has given it to you. Okay? Life and, now what else? He's given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And that word godliness means that which pleases God. So God's given you all things that pertains to life the way He has it, and He's given you all things that please Him. Now now before you answer, let me answer. I'm going to ask you a question. Let me answer this one. What pleases Him? He takes pleasure, Psalm 35:27, in the prosperity of His servant. So He's giving you all things that pertain to life the way that He has it and prosperity. Now, prosperity is not just money. It would include money, but it's in your spirit, in your soul, in your body, in your relationship, in your finance. It's joy, it's peace, it's freedom from fear, it's strength, it's deliverance, it's healing. It's everything. So everything that has to do with life the way He has it and prosperity, He has given it to you. Somebody's thinking, where is it? I'm missing something? Well, we'll show you that here. He's given unto you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, what's the knowledge of Him? How do you have knowledge of Him? Through this word, right? Now, I like verse 4 because it expounds on that. Whereby, the Amplified Bible says, by means of these are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, what's He saying? He's giving you all things that pertain unto life and godliness by these precious promises. Amen. It's saying that He's given unto you all things that pertain unto life and godliness through these precious word seed promises. Yes. So see, He's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness, but He hasn't given it to you in manifested form. He's given it to you in the form of seed. So see, you have healing tonight, right? And you might have it in your body, praise the Lord if you do, but you have it, God gave it to you in seed form. God gave you joy, but He gave it to you through these precious seed promises. So you have all things. Is there anything in this book that pertains to life and God, is there anything that pertains to life and godliness that is not in this book? No, everything that pertains to life and godliness is in here. Your joy, your peace, your deliverance, the salvation of your family, good politicians, the salvation of your city, all of it is in here. It's in the back. It's in seed form. So tonight, everything that pertains to life and godliness, you have it in the form of a seed, in the form of a word of seed.
Amen.
That's where it's at. Now, whether or not it's manifested depends on what you do with the seed. If you let it sit on your coffee table and you put your soda on it so you don't get a ring on your coffee table, and you know you read it once a month, and you know sometimes you bring it to church, sometimes you forget it at home, and you know if you treat it like that, it's not going to produce for you. Because word doesn't grow out of the coffee table. It grows when you put it in your heart. And believers, saved people who don't take the time to sow the word will not get the benefits of seeing the harvest. Okay? All things that pertain to life and godliness, God has given them to you in the form of word seed. Okay? Now, how would you partake then of His divine nature? How would you partake of life the way He has it? How would you partake of prosperity that He wants for you? You would start taking this word seed and putting it in your heart. If I put the word of God in me concerning joy, then I can get joy like Jesus had. I'm partaking of his divine nature. If I take the word of God where peace is concerned and put it in my heart, then I can have peace the way Jesus had it. See what's happening? I'm partaking of his nature by taking the seed word that he's given to me and put it in my heart. And the more of this word I put into my heart, the more I become like him in my life. If I take the word on love and put it in my heart and put it in my heart, then I can love the way Jesus loved. See, so every time I take word and put it in my heart and it grows up, I become more like him. I'm partaking of who he is. Is this making sense to you? It is, isn't it? Okay, now, anything that has to do with life and godliness has been given to you in the form of a seed. Now, if we gave a farmer a truckload of any kind of seed he wanted, if we gave a farmer a truckload of corn seed, do you know that that farmer wouldn't pray and ask God for a harvest? He would go to work. Now, if he's a smart farmer, while he's farming, he'd be thanking God, Lord, I thank you, we get plenty of rain this year. I think these seeds grow up and are fruitful. But he's not going to ask for a harvest when he has the seed to produce it. He's going to put it in the ground and let the seed give him what he wants. Produce what he wants. Man, this is getting better as I preach. Now, why am I saying that? Well, a farmer can't just pray for a harvest and not sow any seed. I mean, if you're a farmer, if I'm a farmer, if we go into the farming industry tomorrow, we're Christians, aren't we? We're saved. We know what the word says. I mean, what if you just sit at home every day? You know, God provides you with fields, provides you with money to go buy seed, but instead of going and buying seed and sowing seed, you just sit at home and ask God, Lord, please give me a harvest in these fields. Please give me a harvest in these fields. I'm begging. I've been to church every day this week. I've read my chapter. I've done everything. I prayed for my pastors and my leaders. I've done all the right stuff. Please give me a harvest. Is he going to see anything like that? What does the farmer need to do? Is this too simple for you? Now, why am I saying this? Well, because look at us. God's given unto you all things that pertain unto life and godliness in seed form. But you know what we do? Rather than taking the seed out of the bag and putting it in our eyes and in our ears and in our heart, we just go and ask. And Jesus said that if you abide in me and my words abide in your ground, in you, then ask what you will, then it will be done. And for a lot of believers, I think it's just like the word doesn't really matter much. You know, it's just, how do I cut this in my notes? Too many believers, it's like the word doesn't even matter. Just pray. Now, we should pray. I'm not demoting praying. But Jesus said, when you pray, pray with the word in your heart. Right? And so many people, they get in trouble, and the first thing they do is pray. Listen to me now. Well, if you're going to pray, when you're in trouble, the first thing you do is, Lord, show me in your word what you have for me. Now, you might know it already. But if you don't know it, that's the first thing you need to pray. Okay? And then once you know what he wants for you, you need to start, you don't need to ask for the harvest. You need to take the word on healing and start saying, Father, I thank you that you took my sicknesses. You carried my diseases. With your stripes, I'm healed. I'm redeemed. My life's redeemed from destruction. I'll live and not die. No evil befalls me. Neither does any plague come near my dwelling. Sickness and disease has been taken from my midst. The word is life to my body. It's health to my flesh. What are you doing when you're doing those things? You're taking what he already said. You're not asking for a harvest. When he's giving you the seed, you're co-laboring with him now. You're walking with him as you sow. Now, he can get involved in that. But, you know, we got to stop living this life of, I've heard it said like this, crisis management mode.
Right.
We don't overcome crisis. We just manage it. We just when problems come, we go to church and pastor prays for us. Well, look, you know, if people don't know any better, we don't send them away when they ask us that. But you're not supposed to live like that. But you're supposed to be a person who farms spiritually and grows the life you want. So if a problem arises, you go to the book and get the seed, and you start reading that. As you're reading it, you're thanking God that you have it. You're thanking God it's done. You're saying, I have joy, Father, because your word's done. Now you are praying the way God designed for you to pray. A lot of people are just getting in trouble and they haven't spent any time in the Word in 6 months, and now it's time to cry and beg and throw fits and do everything you can to get God to move. I'm not even tithed this month. Maybe that'll help God. Well, that's not how you're supposed to live. You're supposed to be able to work this system called the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
That when there's a problem, you go to the Word, which is God.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to separate God from this Word. He is the Word. We're not trying to get Him out of the equation. We're trying to do the things necessary so He can be more involved in it. You're supposed to go to this book, what He has already said.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to find out what it says. And Jesus told you that if you put it in your heart and grow that thing, it'd come to pass in your life. Are you seeing the difference between traditional thinking, where Christianity is concerned, and then where the way Jesus taught it is concerned? We want to pray, but we want to pray knowing what the Word has already said about that situation. When I go to God concerning something, I want to find out what He's already said about it. So when I come boldly to the throne of grace, I'm not going to say, Father, if it's your will, heal my body. I want to already know what His will concerning my body is. I'm not going to say, if it's your will, please, you know, provide for me financially. I can already find out what His will is and have it put in there. So when I go to Him believing what He's already said about me. Because you're supposed to hold fast to the confession of your faith, right?
Yes.
Not the confession of your circumstances, not the confession. So when you go to God, you know, you can, I mean, I guess you can do this if you want to. But do you know when you go to God, you don't have to tell Him about your problem? Some people go to God, God, it's bad down here. I don't know if you know this. But we got this bill, we got that bill. The scripture said your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. He doesn't need to know what you need. He knows.
Yes, He does.
But there's something He needs to know. He needs to know what you believe.
Yes.
Because that is where heaven gets its assignment from.
Yes.
It's looking at your heart and what you believe. That's what He needs to know. Now, the reality is, He already knows that too.
Yes, He does.
But when you come to Him, that's why Jesus said, the scripture told you, He said, Jacob, you don't have a high priest who's not touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He knows how you feel.
Yes,
He does.
Because He's felt it, and worse.
Yes.
He's been through it, and even worse than what you've been through. So that's why He told you to hold fast to the confession of your faith. That's why you don't need to confess your feelings, because He knows how you feel. What heaven needs to know is, what do you believe? And when you go to the Father, you want to go to Him believing what He's already said about you. So we need to get the seed of the Word and put it in our hearts. To pray for a harvest without sowing the Word, let me start and go back. A farmer can't just pray for a harvest and not sow any seed, because that violates the laws of farming. He can't just sit at home. I don't care if he's a Christian or a tither. He can't just sit at home and pray for a harvest when he's not going to get up and go to work. You hear me? That violates the law of farming. Well, God said this to me today. To pray for a harvest without sowing the Word violates the law of the kingdom. You're violating a law that the God you're praying to put into motion. You're praying and ask God to do something, but you're, quote, breaking the law that He already set up. He set up a law that said, whatever you send to your heart will send back to you. Good measure, it'll come to pass. He said, I've given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So why are you here asking me for a harvest that I've already given you in seed form? What is He wanting to do? He's wanting to hold hands with you and sow and walk with you as you sow, not do it for you. He wants to do it with you, not do it for you. He wants to train up sons and daughters of God, not babies. Right? I was making some brownies last night. Amber hadn't been feeling well. I didn't know how to make brownies. Amber, how do you make these brownies? Well, just do it in the back of the box. But I was asking her, well, am I making sure I'm doing it right? Because I don't want to cook some brownies and then be junk. And they were good, praise the Lord. God must have helped me with that. But see, what am I saying is, a baby, you can give them everything they need, And they'll come to you and say, will you do it for me?
Yep.
Right? But a son and daughter will watch how the father did it and then go do it like him.
Yes.
And when I was little, I wanted to be just like my dad. I mean, I remember my dad played fast pitch softball, and I asked him for his autograph once. He was my hero. I bought him a trophy, got a trophy made, asked him for his autograph, and kept the trophy out. He got it. I'd write stories in school. I wrote a story. My dad and I was starting to use the correct punctuation. My dad and I, man, I wrote that a couple months ago, or we were building the house. Man, that story was bad. I don't know. I was young. That's a bad, you know, I mean, but everything was about, I wanted to be just like him. So if I watched how he batted in the fast pitch softball, you know how I stood? Just like he stood. Why? Because I'm endeavoring to be just like my father. Right? I can't ask him to come out and hit the ball for me in pitching machine league. Because he's not a second grader. I have to do it, but I'll just try to do it like he did it. And babies will come. And people who are spiritually immature are people that have everything that they need to get the result they want, but then they'll go to God and say, will you do it for me? Now, you got to watch this because, you know, we need one another, don't we?
Yes.
If you need somebody to pray for you, you know what you should do? You should go ask them, would you pray for me? Would you agree with me? Would you stand with me? But you got to watch this kind of lifestyle where you're not putting any word in, you're not sowing, you're not believing, you don't know what the scripture says, you're not doing any of that, and your favorite phrase is, Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. What are you saying? Will you believe for me? Will you stand for me? You got to go out. Well, amen. Got quiet when I said that, I guess. You know, I can't have pastor pray for me. Nobody said that.
Right.
Nobody said that. But you can't live this lazy, immature life. I mean, you're like a 30-year-old person with a diaper and a pacifier. You're like, Pastor, please pray for me. I don't know. You go get the word. And then when you come in here and say, Pastor, you know what? This happened in my life, financial pressure came, but I found a verse that said, my God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory. Would you agree with me? Pastor, you're going to say, what God is to you? Man. Yeah, I'll agree. And then when you leave him, he'll be encouraged and be built up by what you said and not feel like he's been drug under the door. Okay. Pastor, I didn't tell me to say that. You know, give me a secret handshake there. No, I'm teaching you how to grow up here. This is how you grow up. Yeah, and just while we're on that, we got a little time here to discuss it. It doesn't matter what condition you're in. Do you know that you're responsible for making sure that your words always build people up?
Amen.
Always. Ephesians 4:29 said, let no corrupt communication shoot out your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. So you got to watch it in your venting sessions. Well, I just got to vent because it makes me feel better. Well, I'm just telling you what the scripture says. If your venting is bringing the person down that is hearing it, then you shouldn't be saying it. Did you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, everybody's been through something, right? You ever was trying to counsel somebody that's been through something, and the more they talk, I mean, it feels like it's sucking all the faith out of you too? See, don't be on the other end of that. Don't be talking to somebody about all the bad stuff that's happening, and the more you talk, the less built up they are. You can be going through stuff and tell somebody about it and leave them built up. Right? You can be having problems in your finances and go up to somebody and say, hey, I was reading a verse this week. We've been having some things financially come up, and I read a verse this week that said God's able to make all grace abound towards me. So I always have more than enough, no matter what the needs. I found another verse that said God will command the blessing upon all that I set my hand unto. I found another verse that said the Lord is my provider and I do not lack anything. Would you agree with me on those things?
Yes.
They're going to know something's going on in your life. But after you get done talking, they're going to be built up.
Amen.
So if you're in a fit situation where you can't say the word and say something's going to build somebody up, then don't talk. You don't watch this, well, I feel better after I vent. No, your flesh feels better.
Sure.
Just like you felt better after you had that big pound piece of chocolate cake. That makes your flesh feel good, right? After you got done sinning. Well, I feel sometimes I just need to take a week off and do some sinning. It makes me feel better. That makes your flesh feel better. But your spirit is in a lesser condition.
Sure.
And see, when you vent, yes, it makes your flesh feel better. But your spirit is weaker as a result of it. Okay? So don't just go venting. If you're in a position where you feel like you're at your wit's end and you can't say anything right, then you just go up to somebody and say, hey, this is the situation. It's in this area. Would you just talk to me about what the word says about it? And don't open your mouth until you can say something that's going to build them up and be in line with the Word of God.
Yeah.
Right? Just if they're going, they've been going 15 minutes, and you need more, just say, keep going. Just keep going. Sometimes when I get in a situation where I feel dirt down or, you know, had something, you know, bad report or maybe something, just yucky.
Yeah.
Anybody ever feel yucky spiritually, just worn down? I just get in the room and close my door and I just... We can start hitting the iPod on the computer. Just somebody's going to preach to me. I'm going to take notes, and I'll listen to one message. If it's not gone by then, I'll just keep listening. Because I'm going to keep listening until I can come out of here encouraged and start saying things that are going to build somebody else up. But we don't want to just go throw up all over people all the time. Pastor Ron taught me that phrase. I like that phrase. Throw up on somebody. You know, I'm preaching a message sometime. Coming up sometime soon. I don't know. It might be 20 years from now, but it's going to be, I thought at first it's going to be 10 things that I learned from Pastor Ron, but then it goes on to 11, 12, 13, 14. By the time I get this thing finished, it might be 50 things I learned from. But you don't just want to go, people shouldn't be, you know, worse after you talk to them. Yeah, but I'm going through something. So, now I don't mean so that you're going through something, but that doesn't mean you should just go, you know.
Sure.
Don't say something's going to build some. Why don't we do this? Why don't we get our mind off ourselves and get our mind on somebody else? Okay, yeah, I could go tell them about every problem I have, but what's that going to do to their spirit? Talk the answer, not the problem. Praise the Lord. Everybody would like you better. Amen. We like you now, right? We all have a bad day here and there, but we're trying to lessen those bad days, aren't we?
Amen.
Now, let's close it this evening. What verse are you at? Hebrews or 2 Peter. Let me find a good verse to stop that. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. You're getting this tonight?
Amen.
What do you have to have? You have to have the seed of the word. Doesn't matter what it is, you have to find out what God says. Now, what you have in seed form, you have the potential to see harvested. Did you hear that? What you have in the form of a seed, you now have the potential to have in life. Whatever you have in the form of word seed, you have the potential to have it in life. God gave you His word. And His word now gives you the potential to have what He said come to pass in your life. Now, no word, no potential. If I don't have the word on healing, then I don't have any potential to be healed. If I don't have the word on prosperity, then I don't have any potential to be prosperous. Now, do you understand that the word doesn't come to pass because you know it in your head? The word doesn't grow from your head. He didn't say put it in your head and it'll come to pass. He said put it in your heart. And it grows from the heart, not the head. So this has got to go more than just I know that. And see, this has been the failure of the believer. The failure of the believer has been he or she hasn't taken the word in the form of a seed and engaged the process necessary to see that seed harvested. That's been the failure of the Christian. And see, the failure of the believer has been they haven't taken the word from seed to harvest. We come in church and we know it says it, but now we've got to engage the process from seed to harvest. You come to church, one of the reasons you come to church for many other reasons, but you come to church to find out what's in the bag. And get better revelation about what's in the bag. But see, it's not going to come to pass because you know it. And you've got to go and take this seed that you hear about in church, and you've got to take it from seed to I'm actually now eating the apple. Seed to I'm actually now shucking the corn on the cob as I eat it. I'm tearing it up. You got to go from just having it in seed form to now I'm actually partaking of the harvest. And that's been the failure of the believer. We haven't understood how to get it from, okay, God said it, wants me to have it. Now, how do I get to the place where I actually have it? Okay? We don't want to fail in that anymore. Now, how would you do that? How would you not fail in that area? You would take it in the form of the seed, and you'd put it in your eyes, put it in your ears, through your mind, and get down in your heart. And if you did, then that seed would start to grow, wouldn't it? It's going to start growing. What is it growing up and becoming? It's growing up and becoming faith. Right? First the blade. Small faith. Then what's next? First the blade, then the ear. Bigger faith, but still not done yet. And see, when you put the word in you, that's why, you know, if you haven't been putting any word in where healing is concerned, or and you go home and you start looking at healing scriptures, you're going to start getting faith for healing. We did a series on financial prosperity. We went through every book of the Bible, I think, except two or three, and we found in every book of the Bible that if a man obeyed God, they prospered abundantly. Now, I'm telling you, I was studying that and preaching that. The more I studied, the faith of prosperity grew. Why, what's happening? My tree now is starting to grow up and become. And see, what happened is, this word that you have, it has to become faith, doesn't it? I'm going to close it with this tonight. You got to take the word from the place where you know what it says, now the word that you heard actually becomes faith. It's one thing to know it. It's a different thing to believe it. And you got to watch it, because you can mentally ascend to the fact that God's word is true and not be in faith.
That's right.
Nobody's going to call God a liar. And if it says it in his book, then you're going to say that it's true. But you can say it's true and not believe it. And see, what has to happen is you've got to take the word, and the next thing that has to happen is this word has to go from seed to faith, from seed to tree. Because the fruit is going to come from the tree, and your life is going to come from what you believe, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And if you don't engage the process to take the word and grow faith, then you won't see what you desire. In Hebrews chapter 4, 2, it said, the word was preached to us as well as unto them, but it did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. See, what he said is, they heard the word, we heard the word, but we took the word from word to faith. And they didn't take it from word to faith, and that's why it didn't profit them. Remember the children of Israel and Joshua and Caleb? Remember that story? Joshua and Caleb heard it from God, just like everybody did. This is your land, I've given it to you. I'm going to send an angel in the midst of you. They're going to drive out the Hittites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, and you're going to possess this land and your seed thereafter. Everybody in the camp heard that.
Yep.
God gave the word to everybody. Joshua and Caleb took the word and spent time with that word. And then when they saw things that came against that word, they chose to believe what the word said. So what's happening to their tree? It's growing. It's developing. They see giants in the land and say, we're well able to possess it and overcome it. The other people saw the giants and they said, we can't go in. See, God's word didn't become faith in their hearts. The seed didn't become a tree in them, but it became a tree in Joshua and Caleb. Okay, and that's what we got to do. We got to take the word from the place where it's a seed, and now I believe it. Now it's a tree, and not only is it faith, but it's faith that's growing up on the inside of it. It's getting bigger every day. Because fruit doesn't come off of undeveloped trees.
It's good.
You understand that? A fruit does not come off of an apple tree that's still developing.
Oh, that's good.
It comes off an apple tree that's fully developed.
Uh-huh.
And most people stop in this process of faith before your tree is fully developed.
Amen.
And you're wondering why I don't see any fruit. Well, you're still growing.
Still growing.
Amen.
You're still developing.
Yeah.
You're still believing. Does my faith have to be perfect for me to see fruit? If it is, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
No, but you got to be engaged in the process of growing. And grow it and develop it. But you got to take the word from seed to tree.
Yes.
From word seed to faith.
Yes.
If you want to see the harvest.
Yeah.
What's the first thing you need to do there? If I want an apple tree, tell me what I should do. If I want faith healing, I got to get healing seed. If I want faith prosperity, I got to get prosperity seed and grow the tree. What did Jesus tell me? He told me this. Make the tree good.
Make it good.
And watch this. Now, look, all these things are working. Now, the seed's working, the tree's working, and who's sitting at home? The farmer. So you can enter into rest.
Yep.
That's why the farmer sleeps night and day. Why? Because the seed's doing the work. Tree's doing the work.
Amen.
I'm resting because it's working.
Amen.
Spiritually, you need to rest. It's working. Doesn't mean you lay on the couch and do nothing, right? You just keep meditating the word. Word's doing the work. The tree's doing the work. Jesus told me to make the tree good. I'm just going to make the tree good. That's my job.
That's it.
Pray for it. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. I'm going to take it from seed to faith.
Thank you.
I got to get the word, don't I?
Yes.
The power to see the harvest is in the seed. No seed, no harvest. Praise the Lord. I got to stop. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that we're doers of it.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.